our study through the book of Ephesians this morning. I should know when we started it, but I don't know. I can't remember. Seems like it was last summer. We are in Ephesians 6, verse 18. We've been dealing with the section on the armor of God, and kind of in one breath here. In fact, the punctuation would lead us to believe all is a part of the same statement. Paul gives us one more piece to the armor. Let's read from verse 18 together. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, in love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this time of the reading and the preaching of your word, we ask that your will be done. Holy Spirit, guide us, guide our thoughts, help us to stay focused, help us to retain, help us to come to the knowledge of the goodness of your word. Lord, help us to take this and let it conform us to the image of Christ and go out and live the life that you would have us to live as Bible believers. As we pray through Jesus, amen. As Paul concludes his letter to the church in Ephesus, he has just finished an admonition to put on the whole armor of God, to stand in the evil day, to have a biblical home, to have biblical work relationships, to walk in love, to walk in Christ, for the church to walk in unity. After explaining in those first three chapters in depth how God has saved us and talking about all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, here we get his final words. And his final words after all of that is that we be constantly in prayer. This is Paul saying that your constant prayer is what puts the sharpening edge on this sword you are to take up in spiritual warfare. This constant prayer is the power that enables you to stand in all of this armor that you are to take on. This constant prayer will give you the energy that you need to walk in love and to walk in Christ and to walk in unity with other believers. This constant prayer is what enables the Christian home and what enables the Christian workplace. We must never neglect prayer. It's unique that we do. Even in a church such as ours, where we put so much emphasis on the Word and studying the Word, if we were to calculate this morning how much time was spent in prayer among us, I think we might be ashamed. Prayer is our power source. Prayer is our hookup. Prayer is the spout. But for whatever reason, we keep it turned off and we seem to only want to turn it on whenever we think we need it. But Paul says here to pray all the time. Pray always. While we're preparing for battle, while we are doing battle, we are to be constantly praying. He instructs us here in at least two areas. We petition God for ourselves during the battle, for our own needs. And then secondly, is that we pray for the spiritual victory of other saints. So let's begin with verse 18 and this idea of prayer for self. Some of you were raised in a generation, and it's not my generation. I'm speaking to mostly those of you who are older than me. You were raised in a generation of humility, which is a good thing. My generation was raised too kid-centric and full of pride. Amen? I know some of you grayheads want to say amen to that. You can. That's okay. It's the truth. You were the grandparents who enabled it. But some of you were raised in such a humble age, in a good way, that it negatively has affected you as Christians. For whatever reason, you'll pray for me, you'll pray for Tom, you'll pray for Daryl, but you won't pray for yourself. You won't ask others to pray for you. You'll pass along prayer requests and you'll pray fervently, but you'll never say, please pray for me because. And some of you are just prideful. I don't care what age you are. And you'll never ask those requests either. Am I getting an amen there? Amen. Open confession's good for the soul, isn't it? Amen. But Paul instructs the church in Ephesus here. I mean, we've gone along with everything else he said. God has saved you. He's brought you into this church. He's helped you to have a Christian home and a Christian workplace. He's given you the armor to fight spiritual warfare. He's called you to stand. And boy, we flex our muscles and we bow our chest and we say, yes, I'm going to stand. But for whatever reason, the one source of power that we need to be able to stand, this praying for ourselves, we often neglect. Wearsby says prayer is the energy that enables the Christian soldier to wear the armor and wield the sword. So Paul says here, praying always in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. But do you guys in your Christian walk, do you ever feel like you're not enough? Like you see the great task the church has before it, and you feel like maybe other people are well capable, but maybe you're not, or you don't have enough time, or you cannot do enough? Well, prayer is the solution to that. We should feel like we're not enough because we are not. The modern world has just sort of taken Philippians 4:13 and we've kind of made it our anabolic steroids that we give ourselves spiritually. I can do all things. Well, that's not what it says at all. It says I can do all things through Christ because he's the one who gives me the strength. How do you do all things through Christ? It's by prayer. You guys, I like Michael Keaton. Is that his name? Beetlejuice? I just think he's a really funny guy. I saw this movie that I can't remember the name of it, but he cloned himself. What's the name of this movie? All right, so I'm not the only heathen in the church that watches movies. Just get that out there. But like, you know, he went home and he was tired from work, and there was all these chores to do around the house, and he just couldn't get them done. And then his wife wanted to go on a date night, and the kids wanted to go to the ball game, and the boss wanted him to work some overtime, and the banker needed to see him. Does anybody else feel like that sometimes? Just can't get it all done. So his solution was he cloned himself. So one of him took his wife on a date, one of himself took the kids to the park to play, and one of him went and worked the extra hours at work. And then when that guy took off, the other one of him who was sleeping went back to work and worked some more. He just became this Superman through cloning himself. Well, that's not realistic, but it was really comical. It was a lot of fun to watch. I probably watched it on VidAngel or ClearPlay, just to clarify there. So if you go home and watch it today and say, I can't believe the preacher watched such trash. It was filtered, all right? But this is what prayer does for the believer. You can't be everywhere you need to be, but you can pray from anywhere. You can't do everything you'd like to be able to do in this corrupt world in which we live, but you can pray about all of those things in a moment. You're never going to be able to study the Word all the hours that you'd like to be able to study the Word, and hopefully that's your implication this morning. Hopefully you're wanting to study the Word more than you actually get to. With prayer, God will make the time that you have feel like it's forever. Prayer is the solution. MacArthur does a great job here laying out this verse. There's a lot packed into verse 18. If you just read it, you'll think, well, I've got it. Pray all the time in the Spirit. But let me give you what MacArthur says here. He says this verse introduces the general character of a believer's prayer life. First, he says all prayer and petition. Paul writes that here. All prayer and supplication, which focuses on the variety we should have in our prayer lives. Secondly, he says to pray at all times, which focuses on the frequency of our prayer lives. Third, he says pray in the Spirit, which focuses on the submission of our prayer lives. Fourth, he says to be on the alert, which focuses on the manner of our prayer lives. Then he says to be, fifth, praying with all perseverance, which focuses on the persistence of our prayer lives. And then he says, pray for all the saints, which focuses on the objects of our prayer lives. So here in just a couple of verses, Paul has dealt with prayer. He's wrote a book on it, hasn't he? We should know from these verses about the variety, the frequency, the manner, the submission, the persistence, and the objects of our prayer life. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And it's not just here that we read this about prayer. Romans chapter 12, verse number 12. Romans 12, 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now, I'm not a fan of instant coffee. Any instant coffee people in here? Oh, well, you're from California, so that's... Of course you like instant coffee. The Hickman County people are so glad some of you from California are here now. I pick on them way less. You know, everybody's perfect in White Bluff. Amen, folks? Amen. Any California. Right, Dane? They're all crazy out there, aren't they? Amen. This guy knows. I don't like instant coffee. I like drip coffee is my favorite, but it takes forever. Like in the morning, I need it. And I'm sitting there. Do y'all stand by the coffee machine and wait for it? I know how long it's going to take. I could go get something else done. But every morning, I'm standing at the coffee maker waiting on it to give me a glass. And I usually try to cheat. All right, that's enough of that. But here, he talks about being instant. Continuing instant in prayer. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And when you're praying about everything, don't be shy. Let God know what it is you're thinking about. Let God know what it is that you want. Let your requests be made known to God. Why have we fallen prey to this trap of thinking our loving Heavenly Father, who gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sin, will probably be rude if I said to Him, God, you know, I'd really like it if this happened in my life. We've let the charismatic rob us of that. This is not prosperity gospel. This is not health and wealth gospel. I'm not telling you that if God doesn't give you that, then you're not blessed and then you're not saved. Our premise is, I'm saved, so I'm fully blessed for all of eternity now. Amen? I'm not going to hell. That's reason to worship. But in addition to that, God has now said, let your request be made known to me. I can illustrate this best with husbands and wives. And husbands, if you weak out on me here, I'm going to be mad at every one of you. But let's hear a hearty amen, men, when we say, where would you like to go eat tonight? And you get a, I don't care. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is this not what your prayer life is like to God? Lord, we just pray your will be done. What you actually mean there is, I want this new Ford truck. Or whatever else it is. But for whatever reason, we won't tell him what we really want. Just tell me. We will go there and I will buy. Well, depending on where it is. I live on a preacher's salary, so. Let your request be made known. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. And I say unto you, this is deeply, deeply theological. I mean, we need somebody to interpret the Greek for us to be able to expound upon this morning. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Could somebody, one of you scholars, tell me what that means? What do you got, Jack? You're a pretty smart guy. When the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given unto you, what does that mean? Man. My son, look how smart he is. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. I went through this phase. I was in my 20s. We had just gotten married. We just had kids. I was in full-time ministry. I was fully committed to the Lord. Like, my whole thing was just sold out for God, no matter what he says. God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, anything, I'll do it. And in my prayer time, I kind of got into this, I don't want to just pray. I want to pray the best prayers I could ever pray. I want to pray the most powerful way that is absolutely possible. So I got into this whole studying about prayer. And boy, I just really overcomplicated it. And I overthought it. And you know what I ended up doing? Not praying. I got so enthused about how great I wanted my prayer life to be that it led me so discouraged that I just quit praying altogether. The Bible's not complicated on this issue. Pray, talk to God, ask, and it shall be given to you. Why would we not ask? Seek, and you will find. I love this one with my kids. Dad, have you seen my baseball glove? Well, have you looked for it? No. You're not going to find it. Yeah, you, Tom. Thought that was pretty funny, didn't you? You are not going to find it if you are not looking. Well, I wish I could get some clarification upon this in my life. Well, have you been in the Word? Well, no, I came to you. You have your own at home, I hope. Leather bound, probably in multiple different varieties, colors, configurations. Read what it says. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. When's the last time you went to somebody's house and you stood at the front door and you didn't ring the bell and you didn't knock on the door and you thought, well, I wonder if they're home or not. They're not coming to let me in. But do we not do the Lord this way? We'll think to ourselves, I want God to do this. I wish God would lead in this way. I hope God does this for me in my life. When He's been clear in Scripture, if you will knock on that door, I will open that door unto you. But we don't knock. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So we're encouraged to pray. The first encouragement that He gives us here is to be praying always. Praying always. Ephesians 6:18. This is prayer for others for sure, but it is first prayer for self. Are you in constant prayer for the help of the Godhead in your life? R.C. Sproul wrote this. He says, just as a soldier on the battle line has to keep in constant communication with his general headquarters and his commanding officer, so the Christian who is on the battle line must be in constant communication with his Lord. Imagine if you were a soldier in a physical warfare and communication lines were cut off and you didn't know where to go or what to do. I like to watch these war movies. And I don't know what era of war it was in. I think it was Vietnam, where they would send the planes and like they would just scorch the earth ahead of the troops, and then the troops would move up in there. And I always thought of there had to be collateral damage from that sometimes. There had to be times where like radio communication didn't work and maybe like they scorched their own guys. I hope that didn't happen. But I wonder if that were, I mean, it seemed like a, I mean, it was the best way you had at the time, but it seemed like kind of a primitive way to do things, or we had to be very exact in how we did things. So and maybe that was the case. But we get the understanding there of how important it is for the boots on the ground to be in communication with headquarters. So it is with us. Stonewall Jackson, he was a man of prayer. He said this. He said, I have so fixed the habit of prayer in my mind that I never raise a glass of water to my lips without asking God's blessing. I never seal a letter without putting a word of prayer under the seal. I never take a letter from the post without a brief sending of my thoughts heavenward. I never change my classes in the lecture room without a minute's petition for the cadets who go out and for those who come in. Are we that much in prayer? I think we hear about that and we see that and we'll think, well, that's kind of silly. Like, God knows. Well, I know God knows. He's God. He knows everything. But you know what an all-knowing God has said to His people? Pray all the time. Ask, seek, knock. Praying always does not mean to only ever be saying prayers. That would be how people do it in monasteries, monks, people who've just gone to extremes in any religion. Even Christians, though, have gone to these extremes. This is all I can ever do, just sit around and say prayers all the time. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 does say, pray without ceasing. So we must take that to heart. We must have a constant mentality of prayer. But on the other hand, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus said, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So both sides of that spectrum. The middle ground there is that we must always be in communion with God. I don't come to the pulpit, I know I joke and I cut up, but I don't come to the pulpit with a joke on my lips. I come to the pulpit with a prayer on my lips. God, help. Bless. Work. The children nailed it this morning. I hope you come to church prayed up. I hope you've prayed ahead of time in coming here. Every moment of every day, there should be some cause for us to be whispering a prayer. It is like this. Do you have a friend that you have this ongoing text message conversation with? You know, it never ends. You don't say bye or see you later. It's just, you just constantly text, just boom, 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 all the time. That's how our prayer life should be with God. We didn't have texting when Shanae and I dated, to show you how old she is. So we had as close as we could to an ongoing phone conversation. Those of you who grew up with telephones, you know, this neat technology where you actually called up and talked to somebody. You know, we're almost getting back to that with cell phones. I can now talk to my cell phone and it'll tell you what I'm saying. It's almost like dialing your number and just having a conversation with you over the phone. Technology's really coming a long way. But way back then, I would call her up when I left work. You know, I'd leave a job, I mowed yards. I'd leave a job, what are you doing? Oh, nothing, what are you doing? I don't know, just finished mowing a yard. Where are you going? I'm going to go mow another yard. Oh, yeah? Is it going to take a long time? Yeah, it probably will. Does it pay good? Yeah, it pays pretty good. We're going to go out after this? Yeah, let's go to Burger King. All right, I'm here, I'll call you later. Okay, bye, I love you. Love you too. I love you most. No, I love you more. Get finished with that one, call back up. What are you doing? I'm headed to Burger King. Where are you? I'm at Burger King. Want to talk till I get there? Yeah. Fall asleep at night on the telephone. So in love. Why are we not this way with God? He wants us just to always be talking to Him. He wants fellowship, relationship with you so much that though you fall, picks you back up again. His mercies toward you are renewed every single morning. He just gives you a clean slate. Always be praying. Always be able to pray in His presence. The only way you'll always be able to pray in His presence is if you've never left His presence. Prayer should be continual, not sporadic. Prayer should be a habit, not an isolated act. We should pray to begin the day. We should pray to end the day. We should pray before our meals. We should pray as occasions arise throughout the day. And these are helpful guidelines. There's no scripture that says you should always be praying before your meals. But why wouldn't you pray before your meals? There's no scripture, well, David kind of got us there, but when he starts his day and he ends his day, I guess you could use that to say, there's nowhere that says thou shalt pray before you get out of your bed in the morning. But why wouldn't you pray before you get out of your bed in the morning? And then there's going to be these occasions all throughout the day. Prayer request. You run into somebody and they'll say, oh, I'm glad I ran into you. Hey, I need you to really be praying for something. Why do we not just pray right then? That's not really the custom, though, is it? We say, well, I will pray for that. And then we try to remind ourselves to be in prayer for that thing. Maybe you've got a list you put it on, or maybe you put a notification in your phone. Don't forget to pray for such and such. But why not just pray right then? Are we embarrassed? Do we think they didn't mean it when they said, please pray for me? If somebody's bold enough to look at you and say, hey, I need you to be praying about this, you should put your hands on them right there at the spot and say, Lord, help my sister, help my brother in the Lord in this matter. You should ask right then. You should seek right then. You should knock on their behalf right then. That's intercessory prayer. There will be chance meetings that are not even just requests. You'll just run into somebody and you'll find out they've been going through some stuff. Your response as a believer should have be a heart of saying, Lord, I want to pray for you. You should be as prayed up on your own and seeing God's working in your own life that you say, hey, I want some of what I got to come your way. Not a one of us in here today who doesn't think, boy, if I ever hit it big, if I ever have lots and lots of money, what am I going to do with some of it? What are you going to do? You know, if I win the lottery, y'all play that game? Every person, every Christian maybe, sits around and thinks of how they'd be nice to other people with some of that money. Oh, I'd give this much to the church, or I'd give this to my neighbors, or I'd give this to my whatever, you know. We have wealth beyond measure in prayer. Money gets spent and goes away. But prayer is power. It's the access to Almighty God. And if you're praying without ceasing in your own life, you will see what a blessing that is to you. And you'll be saying, boy, I hope somebody comes across my path today because I want to pray for them like I've been praying for myself. Oh, but I just want to be humble and I'll be praying for myself. See how that's problematic? We should pray before every decision. Some decisions don't require prayer because they're biblical obedience. To be saved is to be obedient to the Lord. To be baptized after you've been saved is to be obedient to the Lord. To attend corporate worship of the church is obedience to the Lord. But we still should pray before we do these activities. But what I mean is decisions. How am I going to live my life? How am I going to use the resources God has put in my life? Who are my friends going to be? Who are my kids' friends going to be? How are we going to pattern the way that we do things? We should be praying over these decisions. We should pray with all the people in our life. Never think that it's circumstantial that God put those people in your life. I mean, just the people in your home. They are in your home on purpose. Men have this bad habit of griping about our wives. Sorry, wives, but we do this sometimes. I'm not going to ask because it would embarrass me, but I guarantee you my wife could tell you the number one complaint that I have. But I'm just going to confess it publicly. I give her a hard time about being a nag sometimes. And she's really not. She's very sweet and very going along with, boy, I'm feeling heat. Coming out. And it's not by her, it's by you guys. You're like, geez. Well, if you run me off, she's going with me. So, why was I talking about that? Help. Yeah. But instead of griping about the people in our lives, accept the fact that God has put us in each other's path to complement one another. Your wife, your husband, your children, you think it's just circumstantial that you live next to the people you live next to? God orders these things. Isn't He sovereign? Isn't He in control? Well, I love it when like we call it, well, that was just a God thing. Y'all say that? Boy, that was just a God thing. Some of you, this happened recently. One of you got a new neighbor, and it was somebody who really needed you. And you said, well, I can't believe God just moved him right in next door to me. And I'm like, well, I can. I'm glad He did. Now minister. Pray. So pray always. And then He says, with all prayer. Use all kinds of prayer. There are public prayers, there are private prayers, there are deliberate prayers, there are spontaneous prayers. There's prayers that are supplications, there are prayers that are intercessions. A supplication is you making a request, an intercession is you making that request on behalf of someone else. There's prayers of confession, there's prayers of humiliation. Hey, you boys in the booth, come find a seat, except for Ben. Ben's working, everybody else come sit down. There are prayers of praise. There are prayers of thanksgiving. We should use all kinds of prayers. I like the ACTS method of prayer. I discovered it through James Montgomery Boyce. It's just an acrostic for ACTS. Adoration would be the A. We begin our prayers with adoration. Our prayers are never worth much unless we begin by praising God. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's adoration. Your name is holy. We must consider within ourselves the resources of God that are placed at our disposal. You see, you'll never pray to your potential until you realize to whom it is and the potential that is there in which you are praying. But if you'll begin that prayer with God, you're all powerful and I need power here. Well, that's an easy answer to the prayer already, isn't it? R.A. Torrey says that the most important part of prayer is making sure that we are really coming to God, meeting with Him, and requesting of Him those things we need. So A is adoration, C is confession. As we pray, past sinful thoughts and deeds will come to our minds and require confession. I've been wrong on this in my life at times. I'm trying to pray, and these past sinful things come to my mind, and I see this as like a spiritual attack against me praying. I don't think that's the case. Could be the case. I think more importantly, it's the Holy Spirit of God revealing to me the things I need to clean up in my life before I continue on in this prayer. When these things come up, confess them. You're praying along, God, hallowed be your name, and you're getting ready to pray for brother or sister so-and-so who is sick and for their healing, and all you could think about is this sinful thing that you enjoyed 3 days before. God, that is not the devil hindering you from your prayer. That is God saying, confess this. You shouldn't have done that. Confession. Deal with these things. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 is a great proof text for this. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. Do you believe that? God's hand's not short, that it cannot save. Neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. God can hear. He can hear you. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Now, this is moving over a little into praying in the Holy Spirit. But part of the role that the indwelling Holy Spirit of God has in your prayer is to reveal these things to you. That would be an Isaiah 59:2 hindrance to your praying. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving. We're always ready to ask for things, but we often forget to thank God for what He has already done for us. So before you ever get to the ask, adore Him, confess to Him, and then thank Him. One thing we can always be thankful for is 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. We can thank God for forgiveness. Then we come to supplications. Acts praying, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. If you don't know how to pray, that's a simple way to pray. If you're called upon to pray in a corporate gathering, you say, I don't know what to do. Did y'all hear about the guy who was too shy to pray in church and the preacher gave him a good idea of what to do? It was back in the day where men wore real hats, not just baseball caps. And they had a rack on the back wall of the church there. And all the men come in, they'd hang their hats on the back wall of the church there. And the preacher said, man, don't worry about it. I know you're shy. I know words are hard to come by. But it'd be good for you to pray in the public gathering. He said, just write a prayer down, put it in your hat. I'll have everybody bow their heads and close their eyes. You go back to the back wall, get your hat, and I'll call on you to pray. You just read your prayer out. Well, he got on board with that. He started feeling real spiritual. He was going to pray in church. So the preacher said, bow your head, close your eyes. The man walked to the back wall. He grabbed a hat, and he kind of got a little, zealous. Before he looked down to read out of his hat, he said, oh, God. He's really going to pray in the spirit. And he looked down at his hat, and his prayer went like this. I've got the wrong hat. But if you don't know how to pray, that's a good way to pray. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Supplications are our requests. Boy says our prayer life would be poor if this is all we ever did, but it will also be less than it can be if we do not ask God for what we want and lay our needs before Him. People who never ask God for anything will always advise you that we no longer live in the day and age where God will give us the things we ask for. Because they're not seeing it happen in their own life, so they'll begin to interpret Scripture in other ways and say, well, we have the Word, so that's all. We have the Word and salvation, so that's all that we need. But you're not ever going to be settled like that in your Christian life, because according to the Word, there are going to be things you're going to want to ask God for. Trust that He will and ask Him. Even Jesus Himself made requests of God, and He taught us to do the same. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, Jesus said, when you pray, pray, give us this day our daily bread. In Luke chapter number 22, we find Jesus' prayer in the garden. In verse 39 says, and He came out and went as He was wont to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Jesus prayed for what He wanted. Now, I'm glad God didn't answer that prayer. And I'm glad that even with that prayer, Jesus had the mentality of the next few words, nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. God, this is what I want, but Your will be done. And then His prayer was answered in verse 43. Immediately, His prayer was answered. He said, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. In His humanity, He cried out to God, this is a hard thing for me to do. I don't feel strong enough. I don't know if I'm prepared enough. And the answer to that prayer was verse 43. There appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him for that task. And He, being in agony, prayed more earnestly. And His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. What a pattern for prayer. And then finally, He says here to pray in the Spirit. Pray always, with all types of prayer, in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit is to pray under the influence of the Holy Ghost. It is to be inspired and led by Him. R.C. Sproul says, praying in the Spirit means that the Spirit helps us to communicate with the Father, interceding for us. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You ever been there? You know you needed to pray, but you didn't know what to say. You don't know how to pray? But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now be clear on this. In Ephesians 6:18, Paul does not say to the church in Ephesus, you need to be praying in groanings which cannot be uttered. He does not say that. He says, you need to be praying in the Spirit. Then in Romans chapter number 8, verse 26, Paul does not say for you to be praying in groanings which cannot be uttered. He says, when you don't know what else to pray, know that the Holy Spirit of God who indwells you goes before Almighty God, the Spirit, through the Son, to the Father, for you, with things that you didn't know how to say. He will say them to you. People misinterpret these verses as some kind of babble talk. They're going to babble to God in prayer. This is not the case. Romans 8:27 says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What does this mean? It means we should always be praying, and as in the Spirit is how we should always be praying. And when we're praying in the Spirit, even when we don't know how to pray, Almighty God, who searches the hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying you need and what you want, and that will be communicated for you on your behalf. What a blessing that is. Now, this is not praying by reciting our favorite syllables. This is not praying with empty or vain repetitions, but this is praying from the depths of our souls. David prayed this way often in the Psalms. Sometimes David didn't have long prayers. He didn't have theologically filled prayers. He just said, help, Lord. Sometimes that's all we need to pray. We don't even know what help we need. Jesus prayed that in the garden. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. What's he saying there? Help. The cup didn't pass for him, but the angel came and ministered to him. Wearsby says, it is possible to pray fervently in the flesh and never get through to God. It is also possible to pray quietly in the Spirit and see God's hand do great things. Sproul says, to pray in concert with the Holy Spirit means that the communication is earnest in its origin and in its passion. All of this praying, then, in verse 18, he says, is to be with perseverance. Pray always with all prayer in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're to pray with perseverance. Stick it out. Never quit praying. Say, well, I've been praying for this thing for 38 years. Pray 38 more. Don't get discouraged that God hasn't answered that prayer. Be glad God gave you all those years to be praying. Verse 18 then, and at the end, down through 19 and 20, we see this idea of praying for others. Pray for all the saints, he says at the end of verse number 18. Others are engaged in the same conflict that you are. Others need to be supported in the prayer by their fellow soldiers. We're not going to be able to pray for all of these other Christians by name, but we could pray in general ways. In cases where we don't know who they are, I don't know all the missionaries in China, but I can pray for world missions in China. I don't know directly anyone being persecuted as the church, but like I know right now that it's being reported in the news that Christians in Canada are being persecuted as the church. Well, I can pray for the persecuted church in Canada. Those are general prayers, prayers for suffering Christians, prayers for Christians in positions of power. If we know they're there and we know they're serving in a great position of power, we must come to the conclusion that they're going to face spiritual warfare in a different way that we who are not in power are going to face. So we should be praying for them. So we can pray general prayers in those regards. But we can also be praying for others specifically, where we do know who the saints are. Then Paul says, pray for me. Verse 19, he says, and for me. You're doubting me that we should pray for ourselves and request prayer for ourselves? Paul is your example there. Paul asked over and again, please be in prayer for me. And he gives his reasons, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So he asked prayer for himself in this ministry God has given to him. And he's acknowledging the fact that he is a prisoner at the time of this writing. He sought courage from prayer to proclaim the gospel, even to those in this very prison. That would not be my prayer. Praise the Lord for Paul's example. I would be writing to the church in Ephesus saying, please pray that God lets me out of here. Paul didn't even ask for that. He just said, hey, pray that while I'm in here. Why is he able to pray like that? Because he said, it must be God's will that I'm here. I didn't break any laws, but I'm still here. Now, if you've been breaking laws, it's where you need to be anyways. But if you haven't and you're there, well, then that must be where God wants you. You know how long you're going to be in there for? I know that's not proper grammar. As long as God intends for you to be in. So don't be praying to get out. Just pray, Lord, help me to do what it is you got me in here to do. And that doesn't just apply to prison. That applies to financial issues, relational issues, career issues, health issues, and all of these things. Be praying that God would use you in these times for His glory. How is that? You're an ambassador. Speak boldly the gospel as you ought to speak. So Paul asks for this prayer. He seeks courage through prayer to proclaim the gospel to those in this prison. He didn't ask for prayer for his personal well-being. He doesn't ask for prayer for his own physical comfort. He asks for boldness and faithfulness to continue proclaiming the gospel. So we must be praying for others. Certainly, if the Ephesians were to be praying for Paul, you and I should, in today's world, be praying for the spiritual leaders that God has given us on a national level. And the spiritual leaders on the local level. Do you pray for the deacons and the elders of Harbeth Baptist Church? Brother Scotty and I are elders, biblically. Preston and Chris are deacons, biblically. You should be praying for them every day. Would y'all be all right if people prayed for you more than once a day? You're good with that? Okay, they're good with it. You can. As any organization goes, there comes a lot of complaints with how it's run and how things go in there. A great way to solve a lot of those things is to pray for the people who are kind of leading the horse here. Do you pray for your Sunday school teacher? I'm sure you critique them. Or maybe you're happy that they're putting you to sleep. You didn't put me to sleep this morning, Brother Preston. It was good. Thank you. You should be praying for that person. They're studying this week to teach you the Word. You pray for them on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. You pray twice on Saturdays because they got to teach tomorrow. How about those who lead us up here on the stage during our corporate worship? When's the last time you prayed for those people? I don't know how to play the bass or the guitar or the piano, but it doesn't look easy. Is it easy, Brother Tom? Takes a while. Chris, is it easy? Miss Wiggins, if I could play the offertory song you played this morning, my buttons would pop off my shirt here. My chest would bow out so much. I don't imagine you just woke up this morning and decided to play that. It took some practice? She's being humble. Why are we praying for these people? Maybe you are. I hope you are. Who else in the church are you praying for? Do you pray over the weekly prayer list? I mean, Miss Linda, Brother Jimmy, Miss Sandy, they work really hard to keep this list compiled, to keep it up to date, to keep it in your hands, to keep it in your email inbox. You should be praying for them. And then take the list and actually use it and pray for these things. Well, you say, well, I don't know who half the names are on the list. Then skip those and pray for the ones you do know. But don't avoid everybody on the list. And you can pray for people you don't know, generally, right? What about when we send out a request? Here's what I know. I'm going to tattle on y'all just a little bit. Not a one of you in here has ever replied to me and said, and I don't want you to start doing this, by the way. I'm just going to make a point here. And said, thanks for sending out that request. I was hoping to be able to pray for something today. But you let there be one error in the technology or one error in how I sent it, and you don't get a request, and you find out that somebody else did, well, their phone got a prayer request, but mine didn't. I'm the first one that gets called. And my favorite answer is, Sandy sent it, not me. So pray for Sandy. She has to work with me. But these are not. This is not the gossip line. This is not just keep your head full of what's going on in everybody else's line. That's what Facebook is for. The prayer requests that we send out, you know what we want you to do with those? Come on, somebody, anybody. Pray, yes. You've learned something this morning. I know I'm being awfully sarcastic. Prayer is such a simple thing that it's often overlooked. God has made, I'd say, one of the top three things in all of Christianity awfully simple on purpose. But don't ever forget, it's one of the top things. We must be praying. The last one I'd give you on the regards to prayer is, there should be someone in this group right now. I mean, maybe they're at the beach this weekend, but they'll be here next Sunday. But there should be someone in this assembly that you are sharing regular prayer needs with. Not in your home, not a person part of your household. You should be sharing with them every day. Your wife, your children, y'all should all be praying together all the time. But there should be somebody in this assembly, not that you're gossiping to, not that you're complaining to, not that you're going up to them and saying, "Boy, did you hear about Jared? We really need to be praying for him, let me tell you." Not that. If anything, it should be this. "Hey, I've been awfully judgmental towards Jared lately. Would you help me? I need to pray about that." I haven't been. I mean, you are a UT fan. But I'm a missionary to UT fans. I'm working on you, brother. Who are you sharing those with? Then we get the closing remarks, and I'll finish quickly here. He says, "But that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things." So he closes this letter with a review of his own circumstances. He talks about his intention to send Tychicus to encourage them, and then he gives a benediction. He says in verse 22, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts." Just as a modern church gains encouragement from news about missionaries they know in distant places, or as it encourages you when you hear about, you know, pray for so-and-so. Well, here's the report on so-and-so, and this happened. Paul said it would be an encouragement for the church in Ephesus to know his situation. So churches need news of God's work around the world and locally to encourage and strengthen them in their own work for God. And then his benediction is a very spiritual benediction. He says in verse 23, "Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." A benediction is not a prayer. It can be said in a prayerful way, but it's a statement of intent. It's a statement of motive. This is what I want for you. And it's wonderful what Paul's benediction is here. It's wholeness, love, faith, qualities that only God through his son Jesus could grant to the church in Ephesus. As he's told them to be victors in spiritual warfare, I think his benediction is fitting, because victors in spiritual warfare would experience these qualities in daily life. And I love that he concludes with this great theological word in verse 24, grace. The letter that centers on divine grace and love and on love in the church concludes with the hope that God's unearned love would be experienced by those who give love to Jesus forever. So he closes with peace, love, faith, and grace. Here's a man who is a prisoner in Rome, but he writes as if his life is better than the emperor himself. No matter what our circumstances may be, in Jesus Christ, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're going through, but I know exactly what Paul was going through. And still he penned such a letter to the church in Ephesus. And in his ending, he said, "Let us pray constantly." So after this over year-long study, the book of Ephesians, if you take no other thing away from that, I want that to be our thing today. Let us pray constantly. Pray for others, be in prayer for yourself, and pray with perseverance in the Spirit.